This is the July-August edition of Ask, Science and Exploration for Curious Kids. The front of the magazine features an illustration of Tweedledee and Tweedledum, dynamic duos. The first article is on page 2, Nosy News by Tracy von der Brink. Voyager, phone home. NASA's Voyager 1 and 2 are the longest-running space probes ever. They've been sending scientific information about outer space back to Earth for 47 years. But in November 2023, Voyager 1's radio signal stopped carrying data that NASA's scientists could use. Voyager 1 didn't stop working completely, so scientists suspected the problem was with one of the space probe's computers. In March 2024, they gave Voyager 1 a poke, a command that tells its computers to try and work around a problem. After the poke, Voyager 1 sent back a readout of its data system's memory. NASA's scientists used the readout to figure out that one chip in the probe's memory wasn't working right. So they sent a radio signal that told Voyager 1 to move the code from the bad chip to other parts of its computer system. The fix worked, and Voyager 1 is back online. There's an illustration. This is how an artist thinks Voyager 1 might look in space. The probe is now more than 15 billion miles, 24 billion kilometers, from Earth. Bot says, did they try turning it off and on again? Blowing in the wind. To spread their seeds and grow new plants, dandelions' yellow flowers turn into seeds with fluffy white tops. The fluffy parts act like parachutes to lift the seeds and carry them on the wind, or sometimes when we take a big breath and blow, like Marvin is doing. I'll help. Now scientists have discovered that the plants give their seeds a better chance to go far by sensing the weather. Researchers put dandelions in a chamber that controlled the amount of humidity or water vapor in the air. They wanted to see how the plants react to humidity because winds are usually weaker on humid days. The scientists discovered that dandelions close their fluffy parachutes on humid days, so the seeds stay put. But on drier days, the parachutes open. This suggests the plants wait and release their seeds on dry days when stronger winds are more likely to blow. There's a photograph. Dandelion seeds can spread as far as 62 miles, 100 kilometers, away from the plant. At the top of page 3, the right way to learn. Instead of writing by hand, today's students often type on keyboards, but a new study suggests writing might sometimes be better for them. In this study, scientists connected college students to a machine that measures electrical activity in the brain. Then the students either typed or wrote with a digital pen. The brain scan showed that students had more activity in their brains when they used a pen than when they typed. They also used more areas of their brains while writing. It seems that writing by hand could help students learn better, especially when doing schoolwork, such as memorizing spelling words or taking notes to study. Avery says to Watson, "What did the paper say to the pencil?" And Watson says, "Right on." I'm going to skip Nestor's doc and turn to page 6, Town Full of Twins by Karen Jameson. Every August, the town of Twinsburg, Ohio, hosts the world's largest gathering of twins. Since 1976, more than 84,000 sets of twins, triplets, and quadruplets have attended 48 annual Twins Days festivals. The twins and other multiples enjoy picnics, a parade, costume contests, fireworks, a volleyball tournament, and awards for the most alike and least alike. And because twins get tired of being stared at, the number of reporters is limited. A town for twins. Twinsburg is now famous as the town that celebrates twins, but it didn't start out that way. The town's original name was Millsville. Then, in 1819, twin businessmen Aaron and Moses Wilcox promised to donate money for a new school and land for a town square if the town would rename itself Twinsburg, after them, and it's been Twinsburg ever since. Moses and Aaron worked together their whole lives. They were so alike that many people could not tell them apart. They married sisters, had the same number of children, and died on the same day. They are buried together in the Twinsburg Cemetery, and many years later, the name they gave their town inspired a festival for twins. Visit Twinsburg, Ohio, on the first weekend in August, and you might think you're seeing double. There's a photograph with many sets of twins. One set says, "I don't look anything like her." Another, "I just want to be me." "She's right. This hat looks great on us. I am the smart one." Page 8. What makes a twin? Usually, human mothers have only one baby at a time, but sometimes two babies are born together, twins. There are two kinds of twins, identical and fraternal. They get to be twins in different ways. There is an illustration of both fraternal twins and identical twins. Sometimes two eggs get fertilized separately and grow into babies at the same time. This results in fraternal twins. Fraternal means brotherly. Fraternal twins are just like non-twin brothers or sisters, except they are born together instead of a couple of years apart. Fraternal twins each have different DNA because they develop from two separate eggs. Fraternal twins don't look any more alike than other brothers and sisters. And one can be a boy and one a girl. Identical twins are different. They come from a single fertilized egg that splits and grows into two babies instead of one. Scientists are still not sure why this happens, but when it does, the result is two babies with the same DNA. Identical twins are either both boys or both girls. They look alike and are often alike in other ways, too. At the top of the page, it says, "Spot the twins. Can you match these kids with their twins on pages 10 through 11? Puck says to Sisyphus, "So we could be twins." Science loves twins. Twins aren't the only ones who love twins days. Scientists travel from all over the world to get twins help to study everything from medicines to new potato chip flavors. In 1978, a doctor from Tulane University visited Twins Days to collect twins' hand and footprints. He wanted to know, do identical twins have identical handprints? He learned that they don't. The skin on hands and feet wrinkles in a random pattern as a baby grows. So identical twins don't have identical handprints. Soon more scientists came to survey, interview, photograph, and test the twins gathered for Twins Days. Many are hoping that twins can help them figure out whether different traits, such as having allergies or liking pickles, are coded into your DNA or develop because of how you live. Are you born with a taste for ketchup? Or do you like it because you ate it a lot when you were young? If identical twins, who have the same DNA, are more likely to share a love of ketchup than fraternal twins, who have different DNA but grow up together, that's a sign that DNA might play a role in your taste for the red stuff. Researchers even look at traits like shyness. With the help of Twins Days twins, they have discovered that identical twins are more likely to both be shy than other pairs of siblings. This suggests that shyness may be something people are born with. But most often, the answer is a mix. Who you are is shaped by both your DNA and your environment, what you do and what happens to you. And because identical twins never live exactly identical lives, over time, they grow to be more different even though they have the same DNA. Science times two. With all these twins in one place, researchers can learn a lot. Back at the science booth, twins taste new flavors, give spit samples, try face cream, and answer questions about their teeth. Another booth is photographing twins to test face recognition programs for computers and phones. Twins are a great test for security systems. After all, if a computer can tell identical twins apart, it will probably be able to tell other people apart too. Meanwhile, outside the science tent, twins of all ages meet up with old friends and make new ones. They also enjoy the rare sensation of not being unusual in this crowd where everyone is a twin. And next year should be twice as fun. On page 10 on the side, are identical twins really identical? DNA is a tangly protein that contains all the instructions for making you. Every cell in your body carries a copy of your very own DNA. The illustration shows a cell with a nucleus. Inside the nucleus are chromosomes, and on the chromosomes are genes and DNA. Identical twins share the same DNA, but they are often not entirely identical. One might be a bit taller or have a sharper nose. But if they share the same DNA, where do these differences come from? You could ask the same question about all the cells in your own body. They all have the same DNA inside, but your skin cells are very different from your eye cells or muscle cells. Why? The answer lies in the way DNA does its job. Inside each cell, DNA acts more like a huge array of switches than an instruction book. Every cell has the same 20 million switches, but only some of these switches are on in each cell. What a cell does depends on which switches, or genes, are switched on. Chemicals and other signals from the rest of your body turn them on or off. As you live, everything you eat and do affects your DNA switches, and that makes every twin a little different. In the photograph, as they get older, identical twins become less identical. The next photograph shows two brothers, and one is thinking, "I don't look like my brother, he looks like me." Zia says, pointing to a photograph of a twin, "Haven't I seen you somewhere before?" Space Twins by T. Wins. Scott and Mark Kelly are identical twins, and they're also astronauts. In 2015, Scott spent a year on board the International Space Station while Mark stayed on Earth. That gave NASA the chance to study how living in space affects the human body. Because identical twins share the same DNA, the cause for any differences found between the twins could be credited to living in space. To help NASA scientists study the differences, Scott and Mark took the same kind of medical tests at the same time. They measured themselves every day and gave regular blood, pee, and poop samples. The study found that there were some changes in Scott. For example, while he was in space, Scott's body used different genes at different times than Mark's. Then, went back to normal after he'd been back on Earth 6 months. NASA also learned that a flu vaccine worked just as well on Scott in space as on Mark on Earth. Scientists still have a lot to learn about how spaceflight affects astronauts' bodies, but the twin study gave them some answers and will help guide future research. In the photograph, Scott's food choices in space were more limited than Mark's on Earth, but eating is more fun in zero-G. Sisyphus says to Puck, "Two heads are better than one." On page 13, there is an exercise that should be done with an adult. such as a parent, teacher, or guardian. Page 14. Could we clone a mammoth? Extinction is Forever, or Is It? By Esther Land Huys, art by Mark Hicks. During the last ice age, large, hairy elephants roamed Asia and the Americas, but by about 4,000 years ago, all the mammoths and mastodons had vanished. Could these ancient beasts ever come back to life? A special sheep. Normally, to make a new baby animal, it takes two parent animals of the same species. Baby animals get half of their DNA from mom and half from dad. When these two halves join up inside a fertilized egg, a baby starts to grow. Without parent mammoths, there's no way to make any more, right? In 1996, scientists did an interesting experiment with sheep. Using a tiny needle, they removed the DNA from the center of a sheep's egg cell. They swapped in the DNA from a different adult sheep, then they zapped the egg so it would start to divide, implanted it in a third sheep, and waited for her to have a baby. That baby sheep was called Dolly, and she was a clone. That means all her DNA came from a single parent sheep. Dolly was an exact copy of her mother. They were more like identical twins. On page 14, how Dolly was cloned is illustrated. You can follow along and reread the paragraph I just finished. DNA is an instruction code that sits in the center of every cell. It tells each cell what to be and how to grow. It's what makes a sunflower seed grow into a sunflower, or a baby mouse grow into a mouse. But Dolly made scientists wonder, if we can swap the DNA inside an egg cell, could we someday clone creatures that died out years ago, such as woolly mammoths? Elvis says, I always wanted to see a dinosaur. Marvin says, I invented a magic box that can bring back any species. Ratsputin yells, oh, saber-toothed tiger, coming out of the box. How to make a mammoth. To clone a woolly mammoth, the first thing you would need is some mammoth DNA. Mammoths have been extinct for thousands of years, but since the 1900s, scientists have been digging up remains of mammoths frozen into the Arctic ground. Some still even have their skin and hair. Unfortunately, even when it's frozen, DNA doesn't keep very well. It starts to break apart soon after an animal dies. Scientists have found plenty of mammoth DNA, but it's all just short bits, like pieces of an enormous jigsaw puzzle. And it's mixed up with DNA bits from bacteria, fungi, and other microbes that lived with the mammoth. Still, by comparing overlapping bits in 2015, scientists were able to map the whole mammoth genome, sort of a guide to how it fits together. Unfortunately, you can't make a clone from a computer list of DNA bits. You need actual DNA. But maybe there's a shortcut. In the illustration, DNA is huge for a molecule. This model shows about 1/1,000,000,000th of it, and a lot bigger than real size. The elephant shortcut. Most Asian elephants are cousins of the ancient mammoths. Their DNA is about 99.6% the same. Still, that adds up to about 7 million differences. But if we could change elephant DNA in the places that are different, could we make mammoth DNA? Researchers at Colossal Laboratories and Biosciences are giving it a try. They have swapped out bits of DNA in elephant blood cells with mammoth versions that help mammoths withstand the cold. But they're only working with clumps of cells, not a whole animal. It's a long way from cloning a mammoth. Large mom wanted. If we do manage to get or make some mammoth-like DNA, we'll also need an egg cell and a host, a modern elephant, to grow a baby mammoth. This could be tricky. When a baby is inside a mother, the mother's body sends lots of signals to help the baby grow correctly. No one knows if a mammoth would be able to develop inside an elephant. At the top of page 17, there is an illustration reviewing this. Editing an elephant. 1. Donor egg from an Asian elephant. 2. DNA removed. 3. Sections of elephant DNA replaced with mammoth version. 4. New spliced DNA injected into donor elephant egg. 5. Embryo grows inside elephant host. 6. Baby is a hybrid with some mammoth traits. Should we? Even if scientists could clone a mammoth or other extinct species someday, would it be a good idea? It might be cool to see a real live mammoth, but would such an animal be happy with no other mammoths around? Where would it live? What would it eat? Who would teach it how to be a mammoth? These are important questions for trying to bring back any extinct species. Cloning is expensive and often fails. Would the money be better spent on saving endangered animals that are still here? Many animals go extinct because their habitats vanish or become polluted. If we brought them back without fixing their homes, they might go extinct again. So maybe we should do that first. Beth Shapiro is a biologist who studies evolution and cloning. Like most scientists, Shapiro doesn't think we'll see mammoths return anytime soon, if ever. And she doesn't think elephants should be used for cloning. Elephants are smart, social animals, and don't like captivity. But she thinks it might be interesting to give a few elephants some mammoth traits. Cold-loving elephant-mammoth hybrids might like Siberia and could help restore the grasslands by munching shrubs and spreading seeds. And if it looks like a mammoth and eats like a mammoth, is that mammoth enough? In the photograph, Pleistocene Park is a private nature reserve in Siberia, Russia, that aims to restore the Ice Age grasslands. Musk oxen and Przewalski's horses graze here, but no mammoths. Page 18. No relation. The animal world is full of real twins, but it's also full of fakers, creatures that look alike but are actually different species. Can you tell these false twins apart? Sneaky stripes. A hornet's bold yellow and black stripes warn birds and animals to leave it alone or risk a painful sting. But look closely. Not every hornet is what it seems. There's also a photograph, in addition to the hornet, of a hoverfly and a hornet moth. Venomous or not, to tell a deadly coral snake, as seen in the photograph, from a harmless king snake, just remember, red on yellow, kill a fellow. Red panda versus raccoon. I thought of it first, thinks the red panda. Copycat, says Marvin. Mask rascals. Despite their name, red pandas are not pandas. They are very distant cousins of raccoons. Red pandas live in the Himalayas in Asia. They evolved their masks and ring tails all on their own. Butterfly bluff. Harmless viceroy butterflies protect themselves by looking like poisonous monarchs to hungry birds. You can tell them apart by this straight line, which only viceroys have. The legless look. These four animals look alike, but come from completely different animal families. They have evolved similar bodies because they hunt in the same way, slithering underground to catch insects and other small prey. The photographs show a giant earthworm, a snake, Sicilian, an amphibian, and the legless lizard. No bugs here. Many insects like to hide by imitating dead leaves or other bits of plants. They often end up looking a lot like each other, as so many dead leaves do. The dead leaf mantis, leaf mimic cricket. ant party. Ants live all over the world, and so do other bugs pretending to be ants. Some of these copycats are hiding out. Others are out hunting ants. Ant mantis, myriad ant bug, cricket nymph, ant mimic spider, and jumping spider. Page 12. The Hero Twins, a story of the Navajo people, told by Liz Hook and Anderson Hosky, art by Marnie Galloway. Long ago, the world was filled with monsters. One day, Changing Woman, daughter of the first man and first woman, gave birth to twin boys. The twins grew quickly. The monsters took notice. "You are not safe here. It is time for you to visit your father, the sun." "But how do we get there?" "Let's ask Spider Woman. She knows everything." "The way there is long and dangerous, but sing this song and carry these eagle feathers to protect you." Spider Woman taught them to sing to keep their minds clear, and as they sang, rivers and cliffs parted and let them pass. "Hey ya, nay ya, I will hold this magical feather to protect me and guide me on our journey. Hey ya, nay ya. This song keeps me safe as I walk through the crushing cliff, following the only trail to the sun." Finally, they arrived at the turquoise house of the sun, guarded by Black Thunder and Blue Thunder. When the sun came home, he was surprised to have visitors. "We are your sons." "We'll see about that." The sun put them through many hard trials, but the wind helped them. "Are you tough as this cliff?" "Ow." "Psst, don't let go of the feathers." "Can you stand the heat of my steam bath?" "Psst, dig a tunnel under the floor and hide." "Got a shovel?" "Can you survive my poisoned pipe?" "No thanks, I don't smoke." "Psst, rub your lips with this grub. It will cancel the poison." "Okay, I guess you really are my sons. Now, will you help us fight the monsters?" "I will help you." The sun gave them magical flint armor, lightning arrows, and stone knives. He also gave them new clothes and bound their hair like warriors. The sons of the sun should not look so scruffy. Then he sent them home again on a streak of lightning. The twins set out to vanquish the monsters. First was the giant Yay Itso. "You are too puny to fight me." "Maybe, but there are two of us." When the giant fell, his blood stained the canyon floor black. "If we both go off monster hunting, who will guard the people?" "You do the fighting. I will keep watch and help you with prayers." "Protect us, lightning spirits. Let my song guard the people and my brother. May there soon be peace." The fearsome horned monster was the next to fall. "I'll dig a tunnel so you can sneak up, if I can have his nice thick fur." "Thanks, gopher." Surprise! Small but mighty. Then it was Monster Eagle's turn. "I will shrink you into a more useful bird." The monster who kicks people down cliffs and many others soon followed. Finally, the world was monster free. "From now on, we'll call you Monster Slayer for your great deeds. I couldn't have done it without you, my brother born for water." The twins held a healing ceremony. To return them to harmony after all the fighting, there was great rejoicing. But the wind passed by and whispered to the twins, "Wait, there are still monsters left. What about cold, hunger, poverty, old age?" So on went the armor again. But when they reached old age, "Please, if no one ever gets old, people will die young, and there will be no one to tell stories." "Very well, we will spare you." And cold. "Without cold and snow, people will not build houses, and rivers will run dry." "Well, okay, I guess you can stay." And even poverty and hunger. "Without the fear of poverty, people will grow lazy and nothing will get done. If people aren't hungry, how will they enjoy their food? You have a point. At least let me get rid of lice. But we teach people to be clean and comb their hair. So they let them all live. Well, we wouldn't want life to get boring. At last, the twins laid down their bows, and the son built a home in the west where he could rest with changing woman at the end of a long day. With beauty before me, I walk. With beauty behind me, I walk. With beauty all around me, I walk. Let there be peace. Page 24. Sharing the Same Face by Abha and Deepa Jain. Do you have the same face as somebody else? Maybe you have a twin, or maybe you have a twin stranger. What's that? Read on to find out. Who's who is a common question we face from people. Their eyes swivel between us. They probably feel they're seeing double. That's because we're identical twins. Our faces look very, very similar. People often cannot tell us apart. Sometimes that has created problems, like the time at a new school when a girl came up to Abha and started speaking to her. Abha had no idea who she was or what she was talking about. That's because the girl thought she was speaking to Deepa. But more often, our faces have helped us, a lot. At our school library, the person who borrowed a book was the only one allowed to return the book. That wasn't always convenient, so we substituted for each other loads of times. One of us would go into the library as Abha to return a book, then come out, pull on a sweater, and go back as Deepa to return another book. The poor librarian never realized. We changed classes in high school too. Again, nobody realized. Even our school made use of our similar faces. The school once staged a play using an actual building as the set, with scenes on different floors. The two of us were asked to play the same character, since it would have been impossible for a single actor to scuttle up and down 3 flights of stairs in 10 seconds. Building a face with proteins. Like us, lots of twins use their identical faces to have fun and play pranks. But just why do identical twins share their faces? We have to go way back, to before the twins are even born. Identical twins come from the same fertilized egg. The fertilized egg splits into 2 identical cells. Each twin grows from one of these cells. The fertilized egg, like all cells, contains a string-like substance that is coiled up really tightly. This substance is called DNA. Its full name is deoxyribonucleic acid. But because that's so big and complicated, most everybody calls it by its nickname. DNA is arranged in little bundles called genes. One way to think of genes is to imagine a cell as a kitchen. Genes act as recipes or instruction kits. They tell cells what to make. Proteins inside the cell act like chefs and use the gene recipes to make other proteins. The protein dishes that cells make decide all sorts of things, even the tiniest details about how your face looks. For example, they can give you freckles, dimples, or curly hair. In the photograph, the ultimate twin swap may be in The Parent Trap, a movie about twins separated at birth who swap places after meeting by chance at a summer camp. Marvin says, "I'm going to clone myself and make a twin." Plush Potom says, "Marvin, that's not a good idea." Boom! Oops, says Marvin. Zia says, "I use recipes to make cupcakes." Because identical twins, like us, started from the same egg, they have the same DNA, and so they have the same genes. Their cells use the same recipes to make the same protein dishes, and some of these proteins help build their faces. That's why their faces are very similar. Non-identical twins grow from 2 different fertilized eggs, each with its own DNA. They are no more alike than any other 2 siblings. In the photograph, some twins have different eye colors, like Kian and Troy from England. Double but no trouble. But despite their name, many identical twins aren't exactly identical. Some even have eyes or hair of different colors. How does this happen? It starts from that fertilized egg in the beginning. Before the fertilized egg splits in two, proteins make a copy of its DNA for a second cell. In fact, every time a cell divides, the DNA inside it is copied first, so the two new cells have the same DNA. Cells divide again and again millions of times to build our bodies. And every cell has a copy of the same DNA. But sometimes, the proteins copying the DNA goof up. They make mistakes called mutations. Mutations can happen any time a cell copies its DNA and splits. And the more times the DNA gets copied, the more chances there are for mistakes to happen. Certain chemicals and radiation can sometimes cause mutations too. Mutations change the instructions genes contain. If a gene is like a recipe, a mutation is like changing one of the steps, such as adding pineapples instead of apples. Most mutations don't have such a noticeable effect, and many times cells can even fix small mistakes. But sometimes mutations can happen in the genes that decide what your face should look like. So a mutation could, for example, make your eyes blue instead of brown. But only when you're still growing from that fertilized egg, not once you are born. If a mutation occurs after a fertilized egg has split into twins, then only one of the identical twins might be affected. The twins' DNA may differ slightly, and they could have dissimilar faces. Yet, even twins who share all their DNA may look different. This is thanks to small substances called epigenetic factors. These do not permanently change the gene recipe, but they do change the way genes work. They stick to genes like tags and decide how many times cells should make the gene recipe. Some tags tell the cells not to use a gene recipe at all. Others tell them to make the recipe many times. Epigenetic factors may be different in twins if they act in different ways. They can be affected by what we eat, how much we exercise, our environment, and more. Suppose, for example, only one twin plays a lot in the sun. Then cells in that twin will make different amounts of the gene recipes, and over time, that may result in differences in the twins' faces. Epigenetics is probably why only one of us, Deepa, has a mole on her face. On page 26 in the insert, tech gets twin smart. Some computers and phones have face locks. They use complicated math to identify patterns in the face of the person opening the device. Only then do they get unlocked. But can these machines tell the difference between twins? For a long time, they seem to be losing. Even now, many of them fail. But some can tell twins apart. They look for tiny differences in face shapes or for marks like moles. Avery says, so even identical twins don't always look exactly the same. And Bone Pony says, right. Twins who aren't twins. They're twin strangers. Sharing a face is one of the fun things about being identical twins. But even if you don't have a twin, don't worry. There's a chance someone in the world has a face that's a whole lot like yours. They're your lookalikes or twin strangers. A fancier word some people use is doppelganger. It comes from German and means double walker. Doppelgangers aren't related. Purely by chance, the genes that build their faces are similar, and so their faces are similar too. But having many similar genes, and therefore similar traits, by chance is rare. Think about yourself. You may have the same eye color as many of your friends, but you probably share both your eye color and your hair color with fewer friends. And you almost certainly don't have the same eye color, hair color, and chin shape as any of your friends. That's why doppelgangers are rare. Despite all this, twin strangers and twins aren't exactly the same. They like different things and behave differently from each other. Everyone is unique. So no matter how many people you share your face with, one, several, or nobody at all, in the end, You're the only one who is you. Many stories have a pair of doppelgangers. In The Prince and the Pauper, a rich prince exchanges places with a look-alike poor boy in England in the 16th century. Hundreds of years ago, people thought their twin strangers were ghosts and bad luck. This woman faints when she sees her glowing double. A Tale of Two Bradys. Doppelgangers have faces that look a lot like each other's, but few share their heights or jobs. Even fewer have the same name. That's what makes Brady Feigl and Brady Feigl so special. Both have the same red hair, small eyes, and toothy grins. But both are also 6 feet 4 inches tall and are baseball pitchers. Not for the same team, though. Ask, Ask with Sage and Briar. Text by Ellen R. Braff, art by Marnie Galloway. Hey, Sage. 8-year-old twins Keegan and Elena, A, want to know why do rabbits eat their poop? They have to stay healthy. What? Rabbits are plant eaters in the wild. These herbivores mainly chow down on grass and weeds, food that is hard to break down and digest. I know that food needs to be broken down. Otherwise, the nutrients and energy it contains can't be used. Exactly. Acids in a rabbit's stomach break down the food, which then passes into its small intestine, where nutrients are absorbed into its body. But tough, fibrous plants need to be broken down even more to get all their nutrients, so the rabbit eats them again, in the form of poop, but only a certain kind of poop. There are different kinds. We produce two kinds of droppings, fecal pellets and cecotropes. Fecal pellets are round and dry. They end up in our litter box. Cecotropes look like soft, wet bunches of grapes. They're not really feces. They're partially digested food. We eat them when they're nice and fresh, right as they come out of our bottoms. They contain good stuff our bodies need, vitamins and minerals, water, proteins, and helpful bacteria. This is how it works. After passing through a bunny's stomach and small intestine, stuff that can't be broken down any further goes out its body as fecal pellets, but food that can be broken down more goes to the cecum. Bacteria there go to work and turn it into cecotropes, now ready to be eaten and thoroughly digested. What do you think rabbits like for dessert? I give up. Poopsicles. Ask us anything. Ask at cricketmedia.com. The last few pages of the magazine have contests and letters, as well as a cartoon you can do with your parent, teacher, or guardian. That completes the July-August edition of Ask, Science and Exploration for Curious Kids. I'm Chris Radio Volunteer, Ron Pariser.